This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you. And as normal at this point in the show, we catch up with Daniel Whithouse as he careers around Australia. Must be getting into the home stretch by now, I should think. His latest stopping off point was in Mount Isa, and he joins us on the line now. Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, Doug. Good morning.
Good morning. So how was Mount Isa?
Mount Isa was like a lot of the other mining towns that I've been involved in, visited over the last, 3 months or so. It was one that defied expectations. A lot of people thought that I shouldn't go to Mount Isa because I might die from various homophobic attacks and assaults, and it actually turned out to be the opposite. I found people there who were living their lives and kind of out and enjoying that, as well as, lots of teachers and health professionals who are thinking maybe they need to do a little bit more about challenging homophobia.
Yeah, because Mount Isa sounds like a pretty rough sort of town, doesn't it? I mean, everything I've ever heard.
Well, I mean, certainly it's like a lot of other mining towns in that it is incredibly masculine and macho, just given the dominance of mines in the town. However, it's like a lot of other places in that it just doesn't have to... I've got feedback on my phone, so if I feel like every now and then I'm not answering your question, it's because I'm being distracted by my own voice. But Mount Isa, it definitely defied expectations.
Now, I noticed you said on your blog that David's response to your question about what life was like in Mount Isa was that it was shit. you found it definitely otherwise. That's good to know.
That was definitely the first thing that David said to me. He said, oh, you want to know what life is like? And he said, shit. And it's interesting that people's first answer is, something I like to unpack, because as I unpacked what David had to say about Mount Isa being shit, it turned out that he couldn't have the same kind of LGBT life that he could when he was in Brisbane. So he said that he didn't really realise how much he took the kind of scene for granted, and the fact that he could socialise with all of his kind of gay friends in Brisbane until he got to Mount Isa. And so when he says that life is shit, it's all about that rather than the fact that he's experiencing homophobia or he feels that he can't be himself.
So it's about his expectations, really.
Absolutely. As I said, I like to unpack what people have to say, whereas I spoke to a cattle rustler and he said, Mount Isa is great. I'm comfortable here.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Now, you said that your going out experiences in Mount Isa were actually quite uneventful, perhaps even tame. I have in mind something like, that scene in Priscilla, where they have the sort of battles in the bars and all the rest of it, if anybody remotely gay turns up. I gather it's not like that.
Absolutely not. It couldn't have been more different. It was, I actually went to a bar that was, its history is that it used to have kind of boxing matches whilst people had drinks and stood around and watched them, and that wasn't too long ago. And the local police had told me that they just send down a van to sit outside of these places because they know that there are going to be brawls every Friday and Saturday night. So when I went along, I was thinking, this is going to be interesting, especially given that it was going to be a long weekend. But I must admit that the next day there were going to be the Mount Isa races, and so people were excited about that. So maybe they weren't as excited as they would have been the next night if I had have gone out. But certainly it was tame. Mm-hmm. And certainly there were kind of as many metrosexual men as you would find, in any other part of, regional and rural Australia.
What about, if I can call it kind of like the official side of your visit to Mount Isa, how did you get on with getting into schools and talking to teachers and so forth?
I talk about in my blog how I kind of, I've had quite a few weeks of success of getting into school, so I kind of got a little bit relaxed in my approach with calling up schools and approaching them for interviews. And so I found some roadblocks in the beginning because I had a principal kind of freak out on me and never ring me back for like an interview so that I could talk to her staff, and I had a deputy principal from a Catholic school who didn't call me back either. But one of those things that happened is that I spoke to the local police and they said, oh, don't worry about those, you know, those particular principals and deputy principals. They're kind of conservative. And they said, who do you want to speak to? And all of a sudden they're on the phone and they're making phone calls and I'm speaking to people from the school. So it's about me kind of trusting a process that I use in every place, is that if I talk to one or two people, soon you get the names and the, you know, who you do need to talk to, and you often you get doors open that you wouldn't if you just kind of called a principal or a student welfare coordinator.
Yeah, that's what you might call your famous cup of tea approach. You've got to find the right person to sit down and have a natter with, and then they open the doors for you.
Yeah, and it's interesting that this time it was actually a bowl of pea and ham soup that was homemade by the local police. It wasn't a cuppa, so maybe I need to rethink my cuppa approach.
Well, I guess it depends on the weather. Pea and ham soup would come in fine down here today because it's damn freezing.
Yes.
But what's it like up there?
Oh, well, at the moment I'm in Cairns.
Oh, you've made it to Cairns.
I made it to Cairns, about a 14-15 hour drive, and I've been kind of staying here and enjoying the weather. It was a little bit rainy last night, but I'm looking out across the waterfront of Cairns at the moment, and it's particularly stunning. So I can't complain for the weather at all.
Well, I can't complain about the weather in Cairns either. We go up there fairly frequently, and it's usually pretty much okay. At least when it rains, it's soon over, which is the main thing. Now, what are you going to be doing while you're in Cairns? You got things lined up there?
Yeah, certainly. I'm going to be talking with one of the local schools that was really, really open to talking to me, which is nice and refreshing. I'm talking to a local gay and lesbian youth support project, which will be interesting. I'm talking to what used to be the Queensland AIDS Council, so that's the Queensland Association for Healthy Communities. I'm talking to a Two Spirits project, which is a transgender Indigenous and Torres Strait Islander project, as well as a couple of the locals. So I've got a busy couple of days planned.
Oh, well, you've definitely got a lot on your plate, and you'll definitely have a lot to tell us next time we talk to you.
I certainly will.
How much longer have you got to go on this trip?
It's week 17, and I'm so 21 weeks to go.
Yeah, so you're not quite halfway through.
So when I get to Brisbane in a couple of weeks' time, it's going to be halfway, and it's going to be kind of east coasting away to you know, get back to Melbourne and Geelong.
Yeah, and I suppose one might almost say that might be the easier part of the trip, but you never know what these things are going to throw up.
I keep thinking that occasionally to myself as I'm driving long distances, and then I just tell myself not to do that, not to come up with too many expectations, because I think this tour has exceeded my expectations so far, and I don't want to kind of put too much of a expectation on it.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll talk to you again next week, Daniel. Best of luck.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
You too. That was Daniel Whithouse there, who's escaped Mount Isa, which wasn't as bad as he thought it was going to be, and is now settling in Cairns. Now, we talk to Daniel every week, and it's really good to get a picture of what's going on all around Australia, these little snippets from various different places. It's one of the things that only Joy can do. And as you may have noticed, we're having a radiothon at the moment to keep ourselves on air. It's an expensive business. It's about $13,000 a week to keep this station on air. But it's not that expensive to become a member. It's $88 for a family membership. That's you, him, or you, her, and the dog, and or kids, or whatever. $66 for an individual membership, and there are concession rates and student rates as well. Now, you know what to do if you want to become a member. You've got to give us a call, 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.